Thankful for the opportunity to be here. Thankful, Brother Matt, and the invitation from the church. And we are thankful for the word that's been brought forth already today. Even the challenge of it, because it is the truth of God. And as the Lord leads, we will look to get into a little bit of that this evening. If you could, turn to the book of Nahum, chapter 1. Book of Nahum and chapter 1. Appreciate your prayers for us, and that we'd say that which is pleasing and honoring unto the Lord only. Nahum and chapter 1 and verse 1. The burden of Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum, the Elkoshite. God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebuketh the sea and maketh it dry, and drieth up all the rivers. Bashan languisheth, and Carmel, and the flower of Lebanon languisheth. The mountains quake at him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence, yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before his indignation, and who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. Let's go to God in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we come to you now. We thank you for this day, this opportunity to be here, Lord, and we just pray now that you would give me the words that you would have me to bring forth, that all honor and glory be unto you in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As the Lord allows, what we'd like to focus on for a little bit here this evening is the truth of God, but the statement made in verse 2, God is jealous. God is jealous. But you know, God's jealousy is a divine jealousy. This is a statement, and the statement is clear on who it is. It says God is jealous. It's a statement of truth. It's a statement of his righteousness, a statement of his holiness and his purity, because God is that. He is sovereign. He is the creator. He is the master. He is pure and perfect. And so it's a divine jealousy, a righteous jealousy, a zeal for righteousness and justice. God's jealousy is rooted in love. His love for the truth, because he is truth. His love for his people. You know, God's jealousy is never a sin, because he cannot sin. His jealousy is a manifestation of his righteousness. And when you compare that to man's jealousy, what is man's jealousy? Man's jealousy is so oftentimes a sin. It's a manifestation of selfishness, really. It often leads to resentment and anger and bitterness, even hatred, that human jealousy that for the wrong reasons and is expressed the wrong way. And like I say, it's a manifestation of selfishness. That's what we often think of when we hear the word jealous. I mean, you think of the parable of the prodigal son, and the one son wouldn't even go to the feast. His father said, Have you not been here with me? Have I not given you all? Do you not find joy that your brother once was dead is now alive, once lost is now found? That was human jealousy that he was showing forth. Well, that's not what the scriptures refer to when they talk about God's jealousy. God is never jealous in error. He's never jealous wrongly. It's always for a zeal of righteousness. That godly jealousy, because he is holy and cannot be anything but righteous and truthful. And as we studied and thought about that statement, God is jealous because God is truth. God is jealous over his truth because he is truth. He is righteousness. And that word truth is found 111 times in the New Testament. The word truth is used. Turn to John 1. John chapter 1. John chapter 1 and verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The Word, that title for Jesus Christ, the truth. Full of grace and truth. And it came by Jesus Christ, full of his glory. You know, we can relate to some of the other brethren as they said they struggled a little bit in preparation for the messages. I did as well. The Lord had given me this topic, this passage, but where I struggled was to try to narrow down to what verses to share. When you think the word truth alone has been used 111 times in the New Testament, and that's just the word truth, then you could look at the word true. And so we don't want to turn to all of these. Some of these I've written down here, and we'll just read them here quickly to serve as a point. Matthew 14:33 says, Of a truth thou art the Son of God. Matthew 15:27, And she said, Truth, Lord. Matthew 22:16, Master, we know that thou art true, and teachest the way of God in truth. Mark 12:32, Master, thou hast said the truth. Luke 4:25, Christ himself says, But I tell you of a truth. And he says the same in Luke 9:27. In Luke 12:44, Christ says, Of a truth I say unto you. He says that again in Luke 21:3. Ephesians 5:9 says, For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And Paul, in his letter to Titus, opens with Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. And we could go on, and we won't read the others for sake of time. But we wanted to just read forth those because you see the trend? Out of those just a few verses of that 111 times the word truth is mentioned in the New Testament. Those 111 verses that contain the word truth, so often we see in just the handful we read, what else is mentioned there? Who else is referred to? God, the Son of God, Lord, Master. Christ himself says it. the Word, Jesus Christ, mentioned in the very verses that contains the word truth. And it's no mere coincidence that you see the various titles of the Godhead mentioned when it talks about truth. Because God is truth. He is where all truth comes from, full of grace and truth. So there's evidence time and time again throughout the Scriptures that the truth is of God. Truth only comes from Him. He cannot send forth an untruth. Deuteronomy 32, verse 4 says, He is the rock, His work is perfect, for all His ways are judgment, a God of truth, and without iniquity, just and right is He. Now I do want to turn to this one. Turn to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. In verse 5, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Every word of God is pure. How awesome is that to consider? Every single word. God has never misspoken, not one single time. God has never said something He shouldn't. God has given us, in His not just divinely inspired, but divinely preserved word, every single word that He would have for us, and every word is pure. God has never uttered a false word. Every word of God is pure and perfect. That's the greatness of that is even hard to comprehend sometimes. Because, you know, there's a lot of words in my lifetime I wish I could take back. But, you know, I can't take back things I've said, unfortunately. There's things that I have regretted saying. There's things that I have said disrespectfully. There's things that I've had to repent for saying. And you know, just because they may not come out of your mouth if they've entered your mind. But my God is pure and perfect, has never uttered a false word. Every single word He says is pure. And to think about the arrogance and really the ignorance of mankind to think so highly of themselves sometimes that you see all these verses about truth. You see that God is jealous. He's jealous over truth. God is truth and righteousness, and yet man can convince themselves and so sadly oftentimes convince others that what they say is right even when it goes against God's word. Oh, we got to be on guard. We got to guard our hearts. We got to be in His Word. Stand in it. Stay strong in it. Because it's His Word and it's pure and perfect. And you know, we've probably seen and can think of those that maybe we even know of or have heard of that have gone away from His Word, or those that say that there are other acceptable versions of His Word other than the King James Version. God preserved His Word. God is truth. Oh, they can take some things out. They can try to add to it. They can, you know, put a different title on it. But if it goes against God's word, it's untrue. And it's just as simple as that. There are those that, in their own minds, reject proper church authority. There are those that try to reject the elements of the Lord's Supper and say that it doesn't have to be unleavened bread or fully fermented wine. There are those that say and pervert the gospel. Brother Hugh and I were just talking about that at lunch, of those, the Arminianism and the, you know, make your choice is what they believe. You know, you can just make your choice for God, basically save yourself. Well, that's not the truth of the gospel. And I say all that to say what's contained in His Word are the precious doctrines of God. They are His truth, and any deviation from it is wrong. It's just as simple as that. Verse 6 there says, add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Doesn't say, well, you might be right. You know. No, He says, lest He reprove thee, ye will be found a liar. You know, we were talking that the doctrine of election, we were talking that at the dinner table too. And how many times, sure, so many of us in this room, I'm sure we've all been called it, you know. I was called it just a few days ago at work by somebody. He says, oh, so you're a Calvinist. I said, no, I'm a Baptist. And yes, I do believe in the truth of the doctrine of election, but that's God's Word. I believe they want to try to call us a Calvinist because they think they can have an easier time refuting man's word. Oh, but it's not a doctrine of Calvin. It's a doctrine of God. They like to bring it back to a man to think, well, you're following. No, we're not following man. It's a doctrine of God. These are truths of God. And these are just but a few that, you know, the true gospel of God, the fact that we are all unworthy, we're born in sin, and none of us can earn it. We can't. There's no works. You can't just make your choice. It's by the working of the Holy Spirit in your life that the Lord convicts, shows you you're lost and undone condition, and you repent and believe and trust on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. It's only through Him. Look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Verse 16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. The gospel of Christ is clear in His Word. It's the power of God unto salvation. Those that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior are justified through His blood. It is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. But what else is revealed? Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed. That wrath that we read a portion of back in the book of Nahum. That wrath that is reserved for His enemies. That wrath that is part of the truth of God. Look at verse 18. It says that wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Those ungodly and unrighteous, the sin of mankind, those that hold truth in unrighteousness. Those that Paul writes about in the following verses that profess themselves as wise. You know, Proverbs 28:26 says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. all those, in those verses after that, Paul writes about the sin of mankind and those that would profess themselves as wise, those that try to give glory of the uncorruptible God to corruptible things. Those corruptible things of the world, and they try to give the glory of our great God to it, who changed the truth into a lie, who worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. That's holding the truth in unrighteousness. And His wrath will be outpoured. See, God is a jealous God, a God of truth. There is a time coming. He reserves His wrath for His enemies. Praise God, if you're here and know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, we won't face His wrath. We won't face the wrath that we justly deserve because of the pure and precious blood of His Son. And we've been made whole because God sees us through the righteousness, the justification of the blood of Christ. That doesn't mean that we're free to deviate from any of the truths of God. Because God is a God of truth. God is jealous of His truths. These are not ideas of man. These are the truths and absolute of God. And so, even His people, if we go in the wrong, we will be corrected. Just Brother Tyler brought out the message right before this. We can face His righteous judgment, but praise God, we won't face His righteous wrath. But God will not stand for unrighteousness. He cannot. You know, we see it wax worse and worse in the world around us. We all can see prophecies being fulfilled. And, you know, it doesn't matter what sin the world accepts. It will never be acceptable unto God. He is jealous of truth and righteousness because He is truth. And He will not and cannot accept it. And there is a day of reckoning coming. There is a day of wrath coming. And praise God, He'll take His people out of here before He does that. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. God is jealous over His truth. God is jealous over His glory. He will not give His glory to another. And that's clearly shown through the Scriptures. We'll read through here in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 19. It says, "What say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of the devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of the devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." Again, the truth clearly shown that one cannot be a partaker of the Lord's table and a partaker of the devil's table. In Matthew 6, Christ says that no man can serve two masters, cannot serve both God and mammon. Verse 22 there says, "Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy?" If we've put something before the Lord, we have. Verse 26 says it's all His. the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof. Drop down to verse 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Just as was preached upon of being a living sacrifice, whatsoever we do, do all. That simple little word, but it means exactly what it means. All means all. Whatsoever you do. What is the glory of God? The glory of God is His truth and righteousness. And anything that goes against His truth cannot bring glory to Him. Turn back to Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 5. Thus saith God the Lord, He that created the heavens and stretched them out, He that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, He that giveth breath unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein, I the Lord have called thee in righteousness and will uphold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison of the house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Thus saith God, I am the Lord, and I will not give my glory. He is God, He is Lord. He will not yield His place to another. God is jealous over His glory. It's only right because He is the only sovereign God. He is the God of all truth. Isaiah 40 and verse 25 says, to whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Well, we all know there is none other. There is none equal to Him. But idolatry is putting anything before Him. You know, I think sometimes in our minds we think of idolatry of that of the Old Testament, of where they made the graven images and the little golden statues or things like that. But idolatry, as it said back in 1 Corinthians, is anything. Anything that you put before the Lord. And we may say, oh, I would never liken anybody to the Lord. Have we put something before Him? He won't stand for it, to give His glory to another. There is none equal to Him. We can't put anything before God, and we don't need to put anything equal to God either. What about when Peter saw Jesus transfigured, and he saw Him speaking with Moses and Elias, talking with Him? Oh, Peter got excited in the moment, didn't he? And he was happy, and he's like, oh, let us put forth three tabernacles here. One for you and one for Moses and one for Elias. And that voice of God came down and said, this is my beloved Son, hear ye Him. Don't put anybody equal to God. Nobody equal to Christ. That was what was told to Peter. He says, hold up now. This is my beloved Son. Hear ye Him. Hear His truth. Hear His righteousness. Don't give His glory to another. God is jealous over His glory. And as we live our lives, do we live it in a godly jealousy for His truth and His righteousness? Look over in 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians in chapter 11. Verse 1, it says, would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Paul was showing forth that godly jealousy to the church at Corinth here, that they should not follow any other false doctrine. Don't give heed to any other way. He had a love for the truth of God, but he had a love for God's people, that they would stand in the truth of God. We need to show forth that love to God in our lives. We need to have a godly jealousy for his truth in our lives. No matter the situation, and I know that's easier said than done, but it's a practice. It's something that we have to live day in and day out. Look back in Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26, as Paul stood before King Agrippa, and we won't read through this whole chapter or anything for time's sake, but as he gave forth his testimony to King Agrippa, and as Festus said, "Paul, you're speaking out of your mind." Look at Paul's response in verse 25. He says, but he said, "I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness." Paul says, I'm not mad. I'm not speaking out of my mind. I'm not speaking wrongly. I'm speaking forth the words of truth. And the words of truth are not words of man. They're words of God. They're his words. Same word, that same truth that God is jealous over and that he has given us. Oh, his response. What is that truth? Well, that truth was the gospel. That's what he gave forth. It's Christ's truth. That grace and truth that came by Jesus Christ. That's what Paul told them. Because he said in verse 20, it says, "But showed first unto them of Damascus and Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God." He proclaimed forth the gospel. He proclaimed his conversion to King Agrippa. He said, "This is the truth that he preached. Repent and turn to God." In verse 22 it says, "Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day." Oh, it doesn't matter what we face. It doesn't matter the people that might think we're crazy or might think we're mad or might think we're talking nonsense. Let us just look to God to continue to have a godly jealousy for his truth that he is jealous over, to proclaim his gospel. Just as Paul, we have the same God that will help us to continue day by day in his truth. Oh, he said, "I continue to this day." Only by God's help. Acts 1 and verse 8, Christ himself says he gives us the power to proclaim it. Psalms 18:30, I wrote it down here. It says, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust him." Or he's a shield. That's what a buckler is, a shield to all those that trust. His word is tried. His word is true. He cannot be anything but truth. And how many times throughout the history of this world, and he gives us the accounts in his scriptures, and have we seen things transpire exactly how God says they would transpire? We have example of it recorded in his word. We can trust in that truth. We can stand in that truth. You know, we can hear a lot of stuff from man, and we can hear a lot of stuff said, and when you go look it up, well, that's not the way that happened. You know, that'll never happen with God. We will never read anything in this word that will not transpire exactly the way he says it will. For every word is pure. God is jealous of his truth, and his wrath is upon the unrighteousness of men. Turn to 3 John. Third John, in verse 12, Demetrius hath good report of all men, and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. Oh, there's no better thing that could be said about any one of us than that we have a good report of the truth. And we can only have a good report of the truth if we're walking in him. We cannot walk in and of ourselves. We cannot lean to our own understanding. It's well established in God's word that he is the truth. And to have a good report of the truth requires us to walk in his way. God will not be mocked. Those that walk not in the truth, those that pervert the truth, those that teach some other way, they have him to answer to for it. Oh, it is a big responsibility to preach forth the word of Christ. And may we take that somberly and serious every single time we look into his word. That we stand in it, that we stand fast, that we turn not from it. He'll help us every step of the way. We have him to lean on. Compromise not. We've all seen a lot of compromise, I'm sure. And sadly, I'm sure in sin sometimes we've compromised ourselves when we shouldn't have. Compromise not. Stay with the truth. It never changes. Like I say, mankind's always looking for something new and improved, as was said. It's some new way. Well, God is a jealous God, a God of truth. And that truth was the same here in these accounts in the scriptures. It's the same truth presently right now. And it'll be the same truth forever. And ever and ever. And his wrath will be poured out on the unrighteousness of man. And if you're here today and you don't know the Lord and Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'll experience that wrath. Look back in 2 John. In verse 6 it says, "And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it." His truth has been from the beginning because he is truth. And that's love. That's a simple statement. It says, "And this is love." A simple statement that covers our walk in his truth. Our walk in his way means that we're showing forth our love for God, who loved us when we were yet unlovable, who sent his Son to die on the cross for us. How do we show forth that love? Be jealous over his truth. Walk in his ways. Christ himself said in John 14, "If you love me, keep my commandments." He makes it clear and plain. Usually what muddies up the water, or actually every time what muddies up the water is is us as people. Our own thoughts, our own sin, our own way. It's only because of His love for us that He made Himself the sacrifice for our sins, and that He quickened us, and that He showed our lost and undone condition, and He saved our souls. That's all part of His glorious truth. Let us not waver. Let us not move from it. Our love for Him is displayed by having a godly jealousy for His truth. Oh, when we look back, we'll close back in our text in Nahum. After it says, God is jealous and the Lord revengeth. He is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on His adversaries. He reserves His wrath for His enemies. But after He talks about the power of God and none can stand before Him, that verse 7, the Lord is good. Amen. The Lord is good. A stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knoweth them that trust in Him. If you know the Lord and Jesus Christ as your Savior, praise God, the Lord knows you. He knows each one that trusts in Him. And it's only through Him. It's not something we could ever work to earn. He loved us when we were unlovable. He quickened us when we were dead in our trespasses and sins. The Lord is good. But the Lord is a God of wrath. The Lord is a God of judgment. And God is jealous over His truth. And He will never change His truth. His truth has been set from the beginning. Our responsibility is but to walk in it. May God bless His word. I'll turn it over.